Good evening. We each have a history. It's our past. And we each have a purpose for our future. And we each have a choice daily. A choice to live out our future toward the purpose God has for us, no matter what events took place in our past. This is shown true in each woman that we have studied. Each one, through their own circumstances, placed their faith, hope, and love in our Lord to fulfill His will and His purpose. And we will see He uses a Moabite woman to do the same, and her name is Ruth. It was a time of judges, the darkest days in the history of Israel. Everyone doing evil in the sight of the Lord, doing what was right in their eyes, in man's eyes. The godly suffer because of ungodly people. Isn't that true, that sin has a ripple effect? God had always promised there would be plenty in the land if Israel was obedient. And that's in Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. So Israel was reaping the harvest of disobedience. There was famine in the land. Moab was not far from Bethlehem, and its descendants were from Lot's daughters. They were not followers of Yahweh. Their main god was Chemosh. Can anything good come from Moab? The question is yes. As you will see, a beautiful love story is right in the middle of this part of history. Let's pray. I thank you, Father, for this study. I pray your hand upon it and you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So to get a clear picture of Ruth, we need to go back in history to her family, including incidents that led her to Bethlehem and to Boaz. Did you know that the names of the Bibles have meanings? And we'd lose a great deal if we didn't translate them tonight. So starting with Elimelech, and I will probably pronounce their names all wrong all night long, so just kind of go past it anyways. So starting with Elimelech, he's my God, my king, and his wife, Naomi, was pleasant. And they had two sons, Mahlon, who was unhealthy, and Chilion, who was puny. I know, how would you like to grow up with the name being puny? And they're from Bethlehem, and that's House of Bread. In Judea means praise. And what do you think we think of when we hear Bethlehem? Jesus, the Messiah, his birthplace. And most of the story takes place there. It starts in Bethlehem, and it also ends there in Bethlehem. And we have Moab, its meaning from Psalm 108:9, my wash basin. Anything clean there? Probably not. So we are in the book of Ruth, as that's where her story takes place. So there was famine in the land. They were reaping the harvest of disobedience, no food and no provision. But where did Elimelech turn? We don't see in Scripture him seeking the Lord or praying. Matthew 6:33 states, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things should be added." So what happens when we don't do that, when we don't include the Lord in our decisions? We walk in our flesh. We panic. We worry. We fret. And we're stressed. Sometimes we need to be still. This lets us communicate with our Father, and it allows him to communicate with us. We need to be still and ready to listen. Be still and know that I am God. That's Psalms 46:10. But he had made the decision. He walked by sight, not by faith. He was departing. He was leaving the promised land. Take his family with him back to the wilderness that God had delivered him from. And he will see that it's not greener on the other side. You take your problems with you. Wherever you go, you need to solve them where you're at, not try to take them somewhere else and think they've gone away. The decision that you make affect those around you. And he took his family. So they traveled to Moab, made their home there. 10+ years, we are told. They lived among godless people. 10 years, that's a long time to live among godless people. There had to be influences all around. But soon, we hear that Elimelech dies, and that Naomi is now left with 2 sons to care for. And they were living in the world out of God's will. So it's bound to happen. Verse 4 tells us, chapter 1, verse 4 tells us, and they took wives of the women of Moab, and their names were Orpah and Ruth. But God had commanded the Israelites not to marry among pagan nations. That's 1 Kings 11:1-5. They broke the Mosaic law. So now we see that Naomi is now a mother-in-law. We all heard the mother-in-law jokes, the nightmare stories of overbearing women. They get the raw end of the deal. I'm one. And in reality, most of the relationships are good, most of the time. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. She was a fantastic mother-in-law. I loved her to death most of the time. And I'm a mother-in-law. And I hope that my daughter-in-law is going to say the same for me, that I'm good most of the time. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. That's Psalms 37:30. We all have so much to offer each other as women. Ruth had Naomi, and I think that she must have been wonderful. The Bible tells us older women to teach the younger ones in Titus 2:3-5. And we are to do this with love, always in love. But we need to know our boundaries in all relationships. Mother-in-laws, remember, it's your daughter-in-law's kitchen. Respect that. No matter how much they like your tacos, and I have a story behind that, I'll tell you one day. And the younger girls, pay attention to your mother-in-law. They have the years that you don't have. And remember, they raised your husband. So pay attention to them. File it away, and you might need that one day. And we need to share Christ's love, to be examples. You may be the only Bible that they know. Live out your faith daily. To call yourself a child of God is one thing, and to be called a child of God by those who watch your life is another. And that's a quote by Max Lucado. So your life is a message. Naomi must have shown that. Their home didn't have mother-in-law quarters. Probably one big room. You cook and clean and you talk all together. Close, always in each other's space. So I bet she had to show grace a lot of times. And had the Lord always been at work in the hearts of these young girls against their God, Chemosh, he was a destroyer. There was child sacrifice. Were their hearts grieved to such horrific things, looking for a way of escape? The Lord loves us all, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Elimelech and his family fled from the house of their father, didn't trust that he would provide. Elimelech did not live out his name because God was not the king of his life. They fled to escape famine and death. The three men met death just the same in Moab. All that remained were their widows. So next we find that Naomi would soon learn the good news that the famine had ended in Bethlehem. She learned it from afar. She wanted the blessings of God, but she needed to go back to a place of blessings. God is good all the time, and he will receive us back with open arms. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he was faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Naomi loved her daughter-in-laws. Go to your father's house. She thought the future with her looked bleak. No more sons to offer a future. She had nothing to offer, but in reality, she had the only thing of value to offer, and that was God through her. She prayed for them that the Lord would be kind and bring them rest. We all have a choice to follow God or not. God gave us each a free will. Orpah went back to Moab, but Ruth continued on with Naomi. Verse 14 reads, they lifted up their voice and wept, Ruth clinging to her. She loved her. She loved both of her daughter-in-laws. A real decision, a real conversion. Where you go, I will go. She was forsaking all that she knew. This Gentile woman decided to follow Naomi's God. And Ruth here makes a bold stand. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. The Lord do to me and more so, if but death parts me from you. A real declamation. Ruth was a Moabite, despised by Israel, but now blessed by the Lord. She was blessed by our Lord. And she was blessed because of her faithfulness. She will become the grandmother of King David. What will we become? Our legacy. God uses everything in our lives. Even circumstance, every circumstance to build his kingdom. Nothing is wasted, not one thing. So it was a long walk back to Bethlehem. I wonder what they talked about. They were both widowed, so they understood grief and deep sorrow, but also love. They shared the love together. They had each other, a bond proved strong. Did they talk about Yahweh, the promised land, the law of Moses? Probably. Sharing openly can bring sweetness into a relationship. Share your story. It increases our faith and teaches us compassion. It produces fruit of the Spirit within us. Love, joy, peace, kindness. So Bethlehem was a small town. Everybody knew everybody in Bethlehem. And we're told the whole town was stirred when they heard of Naomi's arrival back. But can you imagine the talk of Ruth, a stranger from Moab, a foreigner, and maybe the looks that she might have got? Were they friendly? Probably not. But we need to be mindful of the women that cross through these doors. Treat them with warmth and kindness, welcoming, no matter what their appearance. Go to them, ladies, and just love on them. We don't know what their past is and what they're going through. We just need to embrace them, welcome them here with us, and tell them about the study. Ruth would so prove herself to be a woman of virtue, showing high moral standards. The Lord doesn't remember our past, and that's good. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, Philippians 3:13. Ruth and Naomi were desperate. They were two widows alone, one an outsider. Can you imagine? That had to have been fearful for these two women. But as this story unfolds, we see God's protection all over the place. And God's timing is perfect. They arrived in the beginning of barley harvest. The famine was over. It was a ripe season. There was plenty in the fields. God is good all the time. And it was a custom in those days when the harvest was reaped, the workers would leave a portion for the poor and the widowed. Deuteronomy 10:18. It was God's doing, providing for the less fortunate. So we see that Ruth now takes the initiative. Let me go to the fields, out of respect, asking Naomi, asking her permission. Let me go. And she replies, yes, go. And we will see that God was with her every step of the way. She stepped out in faith. The first step is always the hardest, but then when you feel his hand in yours, you know, when you feel his hand, when you know he's with you, go. He's there. James 2:20, faith without works is dead. So scripture says she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. By choice, looks like a God thing to me. It was no accident. Her steps were guided by the Lord. This was God's will for her life, for just a time as this, to accomplish his purpose, for Ruth to be in that field, to be noticed by a certain man named Boaz. A knight in shining armor. Boaz means strength in Hebrew. He was a wealthy landowner. This man had a heart for God. He sought to obey his commands. He loved the Lord. The Lord be with you. He was greeting his harvesters. The Lord bless you. They called back. What a good relationship between Boaz and his workers. We should all have bosses like he. So Boaz asked his servant, whose young woman is this? She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. She asked, please let me glean, gather sheaves behind the harvesters. She's a hard worker, sir. Her name means beauty. He noticed her. She caught his eye. Could she have been gorgeous? Radiant, stunning. She was beautiful in his eyes. She probably woke up, shook her head, and then she was all done. A natural curl, something that me, wish I had. And I was telling Randy that when we get to heaven, he's not going to recognize me because I'm going to have the longest hair. It's going to have the most beautiful curls, probably blonde. I think that she must have carried herself with confidence that radiates inner beauty. Is he seeing the Lord in here, her? She was a beauty inside and out. But all unintentional, she was there working in the fields. Remember, she was a Moabite, an alien out to provide for her and Naomi. And we never know who sees what. We are being watched, so be mindful of this in your actions. How do others see you? Make sure you're living out your faith. What others see can make a big difference in their lives. So Boaz had noticed. His focus was now on her, Ruth, a Moabite woman. This appointment was no accident. God was about to lead them down a road that would change their lives forever and our lives. Chapter 2, 8 and 9 tells us he was kind and concerned. He wanted to protect her and to provide for her. Sounds like Jesus. He became a servant to show his love to foreigners, Gentiles like us. He went on to say, stay close to the women. Randy loves it when I'm with you ladies. You become who you're with. Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17. So we need to take that. We need to go out and, you know, don't just say, well, we'll do it. You need to get things on the calendar and really let's just love on each other. It's really important. And have prayer partners. I stress that all the time, but that is so important for each one of us ladies to have someone we can pray with. But he was a gentleman, and he told the young men not to touch her. He ordered his reapers leave stalks purposely so she might collect them sharing in his riches, just as God shares his riches on us, Ephesians 2:4. And she bows down with gratitude. Why have I found favor in your eyes? You noticed me, a stranger, a foreigner. And by bowing, she accepted his grace and rejoiced. She rejoiced. Our God never tires of blessing us or hearing our praise. So Boaz continued, and he prayed for her. And chapter 2, verse 12, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. What a wonderful prayer, a picture of trust and security, his faithful promise to keep her safe, love at first sight, certainly respect. When it came time for a meal, he calls her, come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. She ate beside the reapers. She was a foreigner, yet she ate beside them until satisfied and had some left. God promises the same to us. We can sit among the reapers because of Jesus Christ, and by faith we can all be satisfied. And she took to Naomi what was left of her meal. She displayed love for her. Let nothing be done by selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than self. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but those for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Naomi was pleased with the kindness that was shown Ruth. Blessed be he, she prays, who has forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead, this man Boaz, a relation, a close kinsman, redeemer. So in the days and the weeks that followed, Ruth continued to glean the fields of Boaz. Ruth was content and satisfied. God had faithfully promised for all her, provided for all of her needs abundantly. God was faithful. Now the harvest is over. And Naomi counsels Ruth to make an important move. So can any of you remember how you felt about talking about your new love, how excited you were, filled with expectations of your future, the thought of marriage, the butterflies in your stomach? I can remember telling a friend, I would marry him if I could. And it came out of nowhere. And I was surprised I said it. Only a few months. And oh my goodness, reel me back in, or you're going to throw me the bunny, the rabbit. But I think that she had butterflies. The Lord was in the middle of that relationship between Ruth and Boaz. That's where he needs to be in all of ours. So present in each relationship, in each conversation. Naomi, I keep saying it backwards, don't I? Could not have been more pleased. She blessed this union, but she also blessed the Lord. Don't get so caught up in life to forget this, to thank the Lord for your very many blessings. My daughter, shall I not seek security for you? Her security lies in her Redeemer, her Goel. Isn't that our security as well, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer? Deuteronomy 25:15. Kinsman redeemer, a goel is a person, a blood relative, which has the obligation to come to the rescue of a widow. He must have the resources to pay the price of redemption, carry on the family name concerning children, and he must be willing. And we will see how willing Boaz was to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. So Naomi speaking, he is winnowing harvest tonight at the threshing floor. Anoint yourself and put on your best garment and go. At the threshing floor, the grain was loosened from the straw, tossed in the air with the winnowing forks. which blew away the chaff, and the grain fell to the ground, and laborers would sleep to guard the grain. And this is where we find Boaz. The threshing floor was circular, and they would put their heads toward the grain, and their feet toward would stick out like spokes, this protecting their harvest from thieves. The most important moment in this story takes place in Bethlehem's threshing floor. Boaz will make a decision that impacts history in his life and our life. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, was Naomi's instruction, and lay at his feet. And at the appropriate time, Ruth uncovered his feet and lay down. Noticing, he replied, "Who are you?" "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Verses 3:9. "Take me under your wing and marry me and obey the law of the kinsman redeemer. Take me as your wife." But Ruth's actions were a simple ceremonial request. As we followed the couple's courtship, I believe they behaved with modesty and righteousness. He knew there was one closer than he that had rights to marry him, a closer kinsman redeemer. He was a gentleman and a godly man. They communicated well. She communicated her desire, and he communicated his concern. And he prayed for her, "The Lord bless you. Fear not, I will do as you request." So she laid at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could recognize her. He said, "No one must know of a woman coming to the threshing floor." Was he protecting her, them, against talk and gossip? He sent her home with a bundle of barley wrapped in her shawl, showing her love. So Ruth and Naomi were patiently waiting for the news. Would Ruth become the bride of Boaz? Would he fulfill his promise? Hebrews 10:36 says, "When you have done the will of God, you will receive what is promised." We know there is only one kinsman that could redeem a lost world. He is the salvation. Is there salvation in any other? Any other name under heaven given among men, whereas we must be saved? Acts 4:12. Jesus, our Redeemer. So a meeting at the town gate between the guardian Redeemer and Boaz proved fruitful to his cause. All rights were given to Boaz concerning Ruth. "I will redeem," he said. So he signed the deal by pulling off his shoe. This was a legal method in those days for sealing the deal. Pull off your shoe, and I guess you'd throw it on the ground. And what do? We have to sign tons of papers. Wish we'd go back to his way. But there would be a wedding. Boaz redeems Ruth. So Boaz took Ruth as his wife, and they had a son whose name was Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David, the line of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. It seems like nothing happened easily for God's people, but all that happened is part of God's plan. Don't underestimate the power of grace of God, what and who he can use to further his kingdom for his glory. He works all things for good for those who love him, Romans 8:28. The life of Ruth has three love stories: the love of Ruth and Naomi, the love of Ruth and Boaz, and the love they share of God. It's a story of loss and grief and finding joy within heartache. "We are never so low that he is not beneath us," quote by Corey Ten Boom. It's a story of God's faithfulness. God takes care of those who care for others, those who love him. A story of friendship and loyalty. It's a reminder to thank God for the abundant harvest in our lives. A reminder that God is at work in the world. Our team is hoping to plant and cultivate a harvest in Haiti as they are led to. Ruth was a woman like you and me. This was her story, her legacy, and she ended well. We are still working on ours. Remember to lay at his feet and be covered by his wings. take everything to him in prayer. And I'd like to read a quote from Billy Graham that I just read today. This should be the motto of followers of Jesus Christ. No matter how dark and hopeless a situation might seem, never stop praying. And make sure that God is in the middle of every decision and every relationship. Be kind, forgive often, and show grace. Listen, and listen with your heart. Be open where he leads you. What will you have me do, Lord? Acts 9:6. Be obedient to glean in the field that he provides. He is our Redeemer. Amen? Let's pray. I thank you, Lord, for your word, for all these amazing women you've placed through Scripture. The example in their lives can help shape ours. I thank you for being our Kinsman Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.